Welcome to Running Back the Hits.
We're back.
Yeah, a podcast with two hosts who are four pockets full of student loan debt. Youngs is here with me as always. Joe, don't make a joke.
You
want
to share that? You can share that. Why you got to put me on the spot?
Listen, man. Hey, did you apply for that relief? That loan relief?
Hey, man. Listen, we're here to talk about music.
Sorry.
Instagram. It takes 10 minutes, boys.
I got Youngins with me. Youngins, how are you doing, sir?
I was doing well until Lee reminded me that I'm in crippling debt for the rest of my life. So now we're going to talk about music that is about having money, which exactly. I know nothing about.
Yeah.
Got some guests in the building, man.
We got two special guests.
Returning guest.
Come on.
Past and future guests.
Friends of the show. Joe is here. What's going on, Joe? Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, it's a wonderful Monday.
Indeed. Indeed.
Youngest reminded me that I love listening to music that I have no relation to. Four pockets full of.
What's up, Crawford? Here. What's up, Crawford?
Oh, man. I'm so excited. July, finally. We made it.
Yeah, baby. You know? It's July 77th.
Yeah, a little late, but it's still on time.
And on time, King.
Exactly. Honestly, new little baby album this weekend.
After hearing it, I'm kind of glad it came out in October and not July.
Yeah.
Oof, I almost said something crazy.
Yeah. New little baby album this weekend. It's only me. Yeah, Youngest, what do you want to hit on some background? You're usually the background guy here.
Connoisseur context. Let's see, man. Like, Little Baby is someone that we've all kind of enjoyed his music for a while, at least the four people that are here. He's a younger rapper. He's only about 28. And when he hit the scene pretty hard. So, like, Crawford, do you remember the first time you heard Little Baby and what your experience was there?
Yeah, it was freestyle. Like, 90% of other people's first introduction to Little Baby. And it was the single greatest song I've ever heard. In that moment, for sure.
I don't know if freestyle was the first. I think freestyle might have been the first one I heard. For me, I think I like caught his name because Drake did Yes Indeed with him, and you know that was still at the time where Drake featured him something, and it kind of gave him this boost. Didn't really like that song too much. I don't know if that's something we disagree on.
It's a hot take.
I like
it. It is a hot take.
I like Yes Indeed. Yes, I don't think it's one of his best songs, but I like
it. It's also one of the first songs that I like completely outplayed for myself.
Yeah.
Really?
I heard it
and then I didn't really think much of it, never really played it. And then I heard Freestyle, and Freestyle's definitely the one. How about you, Joe? What's your experience with Lil Baby early on?
Yeah, I want to say it's probably definitely Freestyle, and then something I'm sure we'll get into. All of a Sudden is like the song that stuck with me. That was like the one that really hit. And then same, like, didn't really dig. And then heard Yes Indeed. 2018 was like the summer of like locking myself in the house and just gaming and listening to music. And that Harder Than Ever, I just like, it was like every day, press play on that, hop on the game, just kick it. And then like, so Baby became my favorite rapper probably like that summer, like 2018 and then it was like the year of everything he did. It was like Drip Harder and all that.
Yeah, we'll get into the Baby run in more detail later, because that's arguably one of the best rap runs we've had in maybe like 20 years. Modern day Lil Wayne, as he self-proclaims himself, which isn't that crazy of a claim. Lee, is it fair to say you're probably the least biggest Baby stan in this call right now?
Yes, that would be fair to say. I caught it with Yes Indeed. And I mean, that was still a time where the Drake cosign, it really did mean a lot. So they were still red hot. And Drake attached himself to Baby and Gunna too. He attached himself to them like really hard. And that was something I noticed early on. And Baby was always a guy who you heard the stories about, kind of like the background of Baby, how he was the coolest guy to Atlanta rappers, which seems insane, right? He's like Thug and like all these guys who we think are the coolest people ever. they were like, this little baby guy, he's the coolest guy ever. like we're literally bringing him to the studio to like keep him out of trouble. He signs with QC, obviously, who had the Migos, and they have like their track record. So he signs with QC, and something that we'll get into when we talk about this album, like he was poised to be in this moment to maybe like to maybe take the throne for hip hop. So Yes Indeed started it, and he obviously had stuff before that, but
yeah, I mean, he's comfortably one of the five biggest rappers in the world right now, if not the biggest. I mean, he's the fucking World Cup song. That's not something to anyone or anyone. And as a matter of fact, it's the first rapper to ever have a World Cup song.
Yep.
Yeah, that was actually crazy even for me, because like I feel like I'm a Baby Santa. So me, when people are like, oh, I don't really listen to Lil Baby, I'm like, it's insanity. But then I get it, like it helps contextualize. Like obviously I listen to rap all the time. So like a big rapper is just another big rapper to them. But then when I saw that he had the World Cup song, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's like, there's only so many rappers who ever even climb to that level of like pop music influence to where they're doing some shit like that.
Yeah. It's legitimately like a Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Kanye level of Drake level of success. Like, I think it's a level of success that even, you know, Kendrick and J. Cole haven't quite achieved. Kendrick probably the closest, but you know, I don't think J. Cole achieved anything as close
recently. And
I think the World Cup's different because it's the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and, like, and Baby hit it
has to appeal to everyone.
And Baby hit it a little quicker. Like he how quick he got to this level is kind of interesting. Kind to me, it makes me kind of think of like a Travis with just how quick he got to this level.
Because for a lot of people, My Turn was like his shit. Like that was their introduction to him, which is less than 2 years ago now.
It's interesting too with Baby. I think he's got to this point really on his own terms. When you look at a lot of people who have got to these heights, like there's a lot of pop crossover and like positioning to get them to that spot. Baby has really got here like on his own terms. Like freestyle is kind of like the street anthem. He's had Yes Indeed, Drip Too Hard, but he hasn't really done a ton of stuff that people who are angling for that spot have done, in my opinion. He's really just gotten here off of like his own work and just like his person. Like he's a star. Like his personality gives that he's just a star. So
yeah, and he, without trying to appeal to the mainstream quite as much.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like you don't have a bad blood.
The main reason I'm big on Baby compared to a lot of other rappers is because he still raps. Like,
hell yeah.
There's this thing where a lot of rappers reach a certain level of fame and they hate that label of being a rapper and they want to be considered an artist, whatever the hell that
means. Yeah, they want to be a musician.
Yeah, they want to be a musician. Like,
get back to the bars.
Rap isn't music, or rap isn't like artistry within itself. And Baby's never really shied away from that. I mean, we mentioned earlier, like Travis Scott's really accessible for a lot of people because he doesn't rap. He just uses rap beats and does the melodies and stuff. And I like Travis Scott. I like his music, but that's what attracts me to Baby more than everyone else. Cause just you're still getting 16 in a hook and then another 16 in a hook. And like he stays within that traditional sense.
Yeah. Like the hunger and the will, you know, when you brought up Wayne, back to the Wayne run where he was proclaiming himself the best rapper alive, when Jay-Z was saying that he's the greatest rapper of all time, like when Kendrick was saying that he's the greatest rapper out, part of that is I think you have to really want it. And when people look at the next era of guys like Tyler's kind of in there, Baby, Keem, like whoever you put in that next group, I'm not sure if there were really, outside of Baby, I don't think there are many people who want it. Like he wants to be the best rapper. You can tell in this album it's something that he values. Even doing like the freestyle circuit, he's done Funk Flex freestyles like four times. Like he cares about being the best rapper. Like that matters to him so much.
Yeah. I guess like kind of got initial thoughts on him out the way, but how do we feel about, I kind of want to just dig into Drip Harder, because he comes up with like Thug. I mean, Thug kind of like shuffles in Gunna and Lil Baby together.
Yep.
And they've kind
tremendous of been, coaching. Just at what a fucking coach. I mean,
yeah, you talk about a fucking tree. You talk about a tree.
Yeah, man. You talk about the building blocks you want to put together.
Yeah, salute to Thug. Like, we talk about that.
I feel like Gucci gets that a lot.
Yeah, when we had Tyler on, we talked about it with Future and Gucci. Thug is low key that he's of that ilk as well. Maybe not quite on their level, but he's definitely like someone who was ushered in people after him in a great way.
And Lil Baby's paying it forward with 42 Thug and Rilo. I don't know if Rilo Rodriguez is going to breach that level, but
Doug is certainly carving a name for himself. Yeah, I'm saying, I'll tell you that Rilo Rodriguez won't. But I like, to be clear, I like Rilo Rodriguez. Thug did it with a lot of people, you know, and like Baby and Gunner are obviously the two biggest. If we're going to jump into Drip Harder talk, I think like Drip Harder has a song on it that gives me hope for Baby's like true like stardom, because Close Friends is insane. Close Friends is insane. Like,
yeah, that's like
that's my what he tried to do with Catch the Sun, he did with Close Friends. You know, like if he has any melodic bones in his body, he put all of them into that fucking song.
You absolutely read my mind.
Yeah,
that song is as close as it can get to like that mainstream pop appeal, while still maintaining like the roots of it being a rap song.
Right.
Yeah.
And Catch the Sun is a good example of it not quite working as much.
Yeah. And like, I like both songs, but like, yeah, you can like, you press play on Close Friends and you're like, this is some shit you could like play just like riding around people who don't really listen to rap and they know it's a rap song, but they're going to like it.
Yeah. And I mean, Close Friends is, to be frank, like people put Lil Baby in this pocket of like not a serious rapper. And whether or not that matters and how people view J. Cole and Kendrick and how they view Drake of like tackling subject matters that they deem matter in music or listenable. And when Baby's talking about like buying brand new titties or like a new Bentley truck and like how that doesn't matter. And he shows you in Close Friends and later on with Bigger Picture, like I can do this shit too. It's very clear. Like I have the ability to do this too, but that's not what I want to rap about.
And yeah. You want to rap about, I mean, Birkins.
You even see it on the Kirk Franklin song.
Yeah. I mean, it's
I know you love that song.
I fucking love that song. And that is proof. Like you throw him in any situation. And
It's a thing that I think in general, a lot of Southern rappers kind of have to go through that a little bit. And Baby really has come out on the other side of it to the point where I think he's respected by older folks in a way that, you know, a lot of his peers aren't, even like Gunna, the way that like a Gunna isn't, maybe like Baby. Yeah. I think has the respect of like even some older MCs.
Freddie Gibbs Gunna's would talk that more shit to a Lil Baby.
I don't know if Gibbs wants that.
I hope not for everybody involved, honestly. I don't want that for anybody involved.
Baby, kind of back to the original point I was making when we were getting over to the Drip Harder, I think it's interesting how him and Gunna were kind of pegged as like the two that are coming up together.
Yep.
And
yeah,
it's impressive how both of them have been able to kind of carve their own lanes and reach stardom in their own different ways. Like Gunna's kind of in an unfortunate situation right now where he can't really grow, but like Pushing P and like that whole album,
P Power, say it.
Go ahead,
say it.
We all like it. We all like it.
It's an incredible song.
Yeah,
incredible song. But like he was able to walk around with paparazzis taking pictures of him in a giant jacket with a P on his back. Like it's a little more gimmicky than Lil Baby, but within it. Like within his own right, he is not just as big of a star, but he made a name for himself.
Yeah, I mean, and Gunna, you can still say is, you know, like Gunna is a huge star. Gunna has had really, really big records in his own right. Obviously, he does it in a different way than Baby, but yeah, like them coming together for Drip Harder, it was such a moment, like.
Yeah,
a collab from two younger guys. A lot of the collabs that we've seen, they've either been like established vets, or maybe so like
too late a lot of times.
Yeah, maybe a younger guy and a bigger guy. Like, no, these are two dudes like prime, mm-hmm. like showing you what they're all about. And yeah, it was such a big moment. Like I remember as well.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to say.
Yeah.
Because like it's like if we got the Cole and Kendrick collab when we were, you know,
right.
When everybody wanted it.
Right.
Exactly. The most underrated part is they did it early and got it out of the way. Because if we had to live with the next 4 or 5 years of when the hell we're gonna get it,
yep.
It would have overshadowed both of them. Like, you know, Cole and Kendrick still talking about it 15 years later.
Let me ask you all this.
Mm-hmm.
Drip harder or super slimy?
Super slimy for me personally.
Yeah, I know.
Not too far behind. I really do like drip harder. I think it got some unnecessary heat.
Yeah, I was gonna say because none of us had really talked about that. Like, drip harder was not well received. At least like that.
No.
That was my perception of it. Like people fucking hated.
It was seen as a letdown. Yeah, it was seen as a big letdown.
Which I personally didn't understand. I still listen to Close Friends. I still listen to Drip Too Hard. I still listen to Never Recover. Belly, Business is Business, really good.
I would say Super Slimy is
Belly. Well. Belly is incredible.
Yeah. I would say Super Slimy as well. But yeah, Drip Harder is one of those, like Youngya said, they did it at the right time. Like, like when it happened, it didn't really matter how people received it because it had a big record on it. Like it was a big moment. Like it's not like the A note in either of their careers. Like they went on to do bigger things. So it was just perfect timing, really.
Got it out of the way early. They understood people weren't going to like it anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think people went in wanting sold out dates. Like, they just wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
Like at least that's because I didn't love Drip Harder when I first heard it because I thought it was going to be sold out dates for 10 tracks.
Yeah.
And it was it was like and Belly is early in the album, it completely slows down. All 5 Alone has like there's a NAB feature on the first song. Like it was like there's a lot of sequencing that I wouldn't have done, but all in all, I think it's still really good music.
Yeah, didn't Dirk say the first words on the album?
Yeah.
He said
a lot of bad words on there too.
He did not show up.
I loved it.
It was guts talk on there and then some other bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I get not loving it when it originally hit, but like, yeah, there's so good music there. I'll probably say Super Slimy, but I think you guys did Future Talk. And I was like, nobody draft killed before. And I don't care if it's a Thug song. Just fucking take it, man. It's the best song ever. Like, who cares? Who cares if Future's not even on it? You know, he's probably in the studio when it was made. That's enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure he's got a production credit.
He gets a vibes credit, you know, like he poured the walk before they walked in the studio. Like, come on. Like give him some fucking credit. But yeah. I was actually gonna ask, like, is there a project? I mean, I'm sure we're obviously because we already talked about it, we're all there for My Turn. Is there a project from like before that you're just like, nah, this is my one, like that I listen to every day or that I latch onto still?
The Little Baby?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Harder Than Ever. Harder Than Ever is a few months before.
Harder Than Ever.
I was going to say Too Hard there. I'm not going
to
lie.
That's why I was, talk to
I mean, Too Hard and Harder Than Ever back to back is
incredible.
It's just so special from a young artist. And I will, Too Hard and Harder Than Ever, they're kind of like 1A, 1A, a 1A baby for me. But I would lean Too Hard, mainly I think because Too Hard might be a little shorter. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, they're both really good.
Now that we're talking about it, I could still take like Street Gossip if we each had to draft it.
thank you, Crawford. Street Gossip,
Street Gossip's after, dude. Street Gossip is 1 month after Drip Harder. Like this
is really.
Yeah,
it's that's insane.
This is incredible. What a run. This is fucking, oh my God.
Nuts 2018.
Yeah, like, because in my head, like, I remember getting to all of those, like, I'm pretty sure a little late. Like, it was a summer that I got to, like, Too Hard, Harder Than Ever, all of it, all at the same time. And, like, Street Gossip, I didn't get to for years somehow.
Yeah.
And I fucking love that. Like, that was my every morning as I drive to work album.
So, what happened with Street Gossip is people were a little down on Drip Harder already. and the stuff they did, like from Drip Harder, they were still playing. And, you know, you just had a Lil Baby album come out in May. So we're hitting November and he puts out like this 10 track EP and people kind of didn't really pay it any mind. And it was a lot of reaction for a lot of people, just like have it slowly and gradually become bigger and bigger. I mean, like Pure Cocaine doesn't hit right away. Right. I don't think it really hits the charts until like early 2019. People were kind of sick Baby at that point, but yeah.
Baby, like there's an interesting thing with Baby where, and it kind of leads into the new album a little bit, where like one thing that differentiates him from Gunna, I feel like Gunna has had an easier time making solo singles. Like Baby just really hasn't, like Freestyle is kind of like that a little bit, but he doesn't really have like a lot of solo singles to his name. It is a lot more of those kind of like more street anthemic songs. Even though he has a lot of songs that are single material, I feel.
I think he just has a bad team picking him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we can definitely get into that when we talk about the new one.
But this is an excellent segue. Time to talk about everybody's favorite song of the album.
Hold on.
Let's
dig into my turn. So, like, we kind of get this break, right? He has this crazy 2018. And like I said, after Street Gossip, it felt like a lot of people were kind of just done and over with Baby.
It was the perfect time to take a break.
Yeah. And he takes this little break. I mean, in his own solo work, he does not take a break from features. And he's on like another level with features.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. That's a whole other podcast on just Little Baby features. But he puts his work in there and stays within the limelight, but people are kind of waiting for the next step in the next album. And I think Lee mentioned it, or it might've been Joe. I'm sorry, whoever I'm misattributing it to, but it was like my turn became the like coming out party. It became a lot of people's first introduction to Baby. Helps that it happens like right before the pandemic and then kind of like a little into the pandemic. So that kind of helped his career a little bit. Not so much from like a touring standpoint. I don't think he gets to tour for My Turn, but yeah. What's our thoughts on My Turn?
Joe, I'll let you go first. I know you love My Turn.
My Turn. Yeah. I was gonna say My Turn hit for me for day one. Like, that was so I kind of alluded to it earlier. Street Gossip. That was my first year teaching every morning before I drove to work. I was driving a T-truck in high school math, and I was turned up in the car to Street Gossip every single day. And so My Turn comes out January 2020, or either December February, 2020. Yeah. Or February. Early. 20, yeah. Yeah. Early 2020. And yeah, that was like press play at the computer, like sitting ready for it. And I don't think there's a song on there that I don't know, like front to back. Like, it's nasty. Cause I saw Baby at a little festival last year. One of the dudes next to me is like, bro, you should have a mic. Like, you might as well just get up there with him. Like, yeah. So, My Turn is like, for me, is the perfect little blend of like, there's random shit that nobody else plays that like you just bars out. And then there's like, yeah, like all the little pop influence things that he tries to do are on there. And like, it has crazy features. It's a Doug coming out party as much as it is a Baby coming out party, which is super fun for me because like, as a big Doug guy.
I think this might be the album that I've listened to most since it came out, probably not a close second. I love this album, like the deluxe, all 27 songs of it, every single one. Same thing as Joe said, there's probably not a single song on here that I can't go word for word on.
Yeah,
I absolutely love this album. I think it's very long, but I think it's a perfect encapsulation of rap in the past like 6 years.
My Turn, one of the few that actually deserved a deluxe, got the deluxe, and the deluxe worked as well as the rest of the album.
Like All In is on the deluxe, which is insane.
Apparently Bigger Picture's on the deluxe too. I just found that out like right before we started recording.
Depending on what app you're on.
Yeah. Social distancing, you know, they're gonna put Lil Baby in the textbooks, you know, first COVID rap right there.
Soulja Boy just felt his ears burn up.
Bro, I can't believe how hard I laughed when I opened up the deluxe and saw a song named Social Distancing was the first one. And I was like, this is the funniest fucking dude on the planet. And then I played it and it was good. It's like, it's legitimately a good song.
It bangs. It's so good.
My turn is an interesting one because there's this thing that happens that's, I think, happening more in like all of the media we consume, like music and sports kind of too, or the parallel I draw with it, where there's like, there's narrative with these folks. And like the narrative of Lil Baby when My Turn dropped, it that's when it really was, in my opinion, he's like the next guy for real. He's really like a star. He can do it on his own. He's respected. He can really rap. Like he has the ability to make a big song, like the ability to make a good album that everybody likes. My Turn was really that moment where it was really cemented, in my opinion. Kind of weird that it came at the top of the pandemic. You know, who knows what would happen if we were like completely outside with it, but it was a huge moment for Baby.
And a dope record. We kind of found out because we paid stuck around, you know, like some of these songs just did not go anywhere.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's like another
one of the songs that doesn't that like really gets trapped is like No Sucker. Like No Sucker, I feel like I should hear everywhere still.
Yeah.
No Sucker might be a little coy for public audiences, to be honest with you.
Maybe it's a little too much.
Even in the same vein, Live Out My Closet.
Yes. Like, yeah, that's a good one.
A banger that should still be on the radio today, but there were just eight other hits
right
that between now got and to then, the front of the line.
Yeah, I mean, we see, I know you guys mentioned Catch the Sun, which is for a soundtrack, which pissed me off. I don't like when they do like soundtrack songs on albums, just leave it on that soundtrack. Doesn't really fit the rest of it, but we see him like hit that other side too, but with like Same Thing and Emotionally Scarred. We see him dig back into that well that he went into for Close Friends, and it works again. I believe Emotionally Scarred is another single of his.
I think so.
It's on My Turn.
Yeah, it's on My Turn, but it was released as a single after the album.
It was a single, I think,
after the album, and like one of the higher peaking songs on here. So people do gravitate towards him when he steps away from the Live Off My Closet and the No Suckers and stuff. And there aren't many people that can do both.
Yeah, man. He just has this hard to see impact. Like sales projections have already come in, projected to do like 220 first week. It'll be one of the more successful hip hop records of the year, albums in general. He has this reach that is hard to see, but it's there. It's there. Like people are a lot of people are listening to Lil Baby.
You know how I knew it was there? Because people were trying to tell me that he's gonna fall off on this next one.
In between, we got the Dirt collab. That was
yeah.
I feel like that was kind of a part of it. People went too hard on that album, in my opinion.
I think, man, I like that album more than most people.
I agree.
I really like that album. It's got some bangers on there.
I dead ass have not listened to it.
No shit.
I'm not even gonna pretend.
Well, you don't love Dirk, right? I think that's probably a big part of it.
Dirk,
you're not a Broadway Girls. You're not a Broadway Girls fan. You're not a Broadway Girls fan?
No. Hold on. I didn't say all that. When I hear Dirk and Dirk is good, I like it. When I hear Dirk and I don't like Dirk, just in one ear out the other. I don't know if I haven't heard a little Dirk album since like his debut, maybe.
Well, don't start with The Voice, because the deluxe is 31 songs.
Oh, yeah, it's impossibly long.
It's insane. And it's not like, 31 songs, 38 minutes. It's 31 songs and it's 2.5 hours long.
Listen, while we're on the Dirk side, that OTF album they put out, I weirdly listen to a lot still. Like, there's a lot of good songs on there. I don't know what the hell is going on there and why I picked that one to listen to.
Yeah, I think like Like you know, when people talk about they died, like a bunch of things flash in front of their eyes. No Auto Dirk is the soundtrack that plays. Like that's like that's like randomly. I feel you. Like what the hell is going on? Like there's a crazy. They had a crazy T Grizzly verse out. Like what's happening, man?
Oh, that's such a good fucking verse.
It's just like it's crazy. Why does anybody even know that? Like,
yeah, there's a nasty posse cut out an OTF.
I feel like the reception for the baby and Dirk thing was just such a weird spectacle because
it was weird.
Like
it really kind of came from out of nowhere.
Yeah, and yeah, like I think it should have been hyped up a little bit more. I mean, it came out in the pandemic as well. But I mean, Dirk at that time was steadily rising too. Like Dirk is a guy, me and Youngs have talked about it. Like we're not like the biggest fans is, so it's kind of easy to dismiss. But Dirk is fucking huge. Like Dirk is a really big star in his own right. Baby coming up to be like one of the biggest names in the genre. Like I feel like it should have went a different way than it did. Like I don't know.
I'll say this. I'm gonna send some subliminal shots. I'm not gonna say their name out loud.
Okay.
There was a past guest on this show that
Shots CashCon. I already know who you're talking about.
He was talking crazy, yeah.
Nah, not it wasn't him. There was a past guest on this show that was saying that like the future of rap with the youth is kind of in trouble. And I don't know what the fuck they're talking about when Lil Durk is 29, Youngboy's like 24, Lil Baby's 27. Like the biggest rappers in the world right now over like, I mean, those guys are selling more than like new Kanye records and stuff.
Yeah. You know,
they started so young.
Yeah.
They've been around for years, but they're still young.
Yeah. And they're going to reach the levels of the Coles and the Kendricks and that sort of thing. And it's just, yeah, it's going to take time. It's not going to be overnight.
I mean, I see both sides of this as I do with most things. I think they're like,
whatever. Again,
like I said with Baby, like his impact is kind of hard to see. Like there aren't like I said, like there aren't huge solo big songs, but his impact is there. And I think for someone who isn't like a big fan or who kind of operates mainly outside of the genre, it could be kind of easy to say that. But not like the future is really great, man. Like guys like Tyler's kind of in that weird space where he's kind of newer but older too. Like Tyler's kicking it into gear. We have Baby. It'd be great like if Gunna could come home. Like we have like Dirk, we have all these guys who are gonna be around. Like
in Youngboy, we're not gonna forget about
Youngboy is still here. Hey. Well, I mean, we usually get to it at the end. Youngboy just dropped a fire project himself. So
yeah, so how could we forget? He released the album.
Yeah,
he
man. Album yeah, yeah,
last
yeah.
Friday.
Yeah,
it's coming out this Friday. There's a new Youngboy project.
Yeah,
there's a but new yeah. Youngboy every Friday. Every Friday, it's got some shit on.
Yeah,
like what?
The future is bright. The future is bright.
Future is bright. I guess we should dig into the new stuff, huh?
Yeah, that brings us here to the new one.
To the new one. Actually, no. Before we dig into the new one, let me get a Lucy from Baby. What's a little baby Lucy that you like a lot? You can't copy someone else's. I'll let Crawford go first.
A Lucy?
Oh, now we got fake fans in the building. Look at that.
Fake fans.
When you say Lucy, can
yeah, when you say like... Lucy...
Like just a song we haven't mentioned already, or just like
a song? No, like a song that's not on an album.
Oh yeah, easy.
Or not on his album, I should say. Mm. If you want to use some QC stuff, that's cool with me.
Oh, if you want to go something QC, it's the.
It's a good question. I haven't heard much.
Joe, go ahead. I have to find the name of the song.
You're good. I said mine earlier. Sold Out Dates isn't on a project. And...
Yes, sir. Yeah, Sold Out Dates is a good one.
Sold Out Dates is fucking insane.
I'm gonna go without the mud with Future.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, we got a Lucy.
I don't know if I have a Lucy. Pretty much everything I've heard from Baby's on a project. I mean it's kind of cheating because this is on the collab project, but I would say Big Timers with Marlo. It's not like an official little Baby project.
You can say Pride is the Devil Youngest, it's okay.
Both sides.
Both sides.
With Gucci Mane. Fucking love that song.
Yeah. It's a QC song, but Baby is fucking nuts. Like, what happened with the Baby is gone with a gun. Fuck that guy, but.
Yeah.
You talk about a fucking track. Yeah, they figured some shit out.
It kind of does bother me that on Lil Baby's Wikipedia at the top it says not to be confused with the baby.
Take that shit off.
Who's making this?
That is strictly there for Osh.
Who's still making that confusion, bro?
That is strictly there for him.
Like, if I say baby, you know who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your son or daughter, and I'm not talking about the baby. Like, what are you like? What's the word, man? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, I was digging to this new album. It's Only Me. Hilarious fucking cover. He's himself on Mount Rushmore 4 times. He's sitting at the bottom of a creek with just goats all around him.
It's crazy. It's a crazy album cover.
He's got this thing where he like kind of has a little consistency with his album covers.
Yeah,
because My Turn has the goats on there too, and then prior he had like the same
the hard series.
Yeah. He did explain it. There is like some connectivity there. I think how on It's Only Me, you can notice he's the same level as the goats. Mm-hmm. Whereas on My Turn, I guess he's not on their
he's level. Above them. He's sitting on top of a cliff and they're below.
I guess he's like looking down at the goats, but now he's like on their level, I think is what is his explainer for that. But I like the cover a lot. I saw the cover and I was like, this is actually pretty cool and I'm excited. Again, kind of leading to that, he really cares about being the best rapper. Like the Mount Rushmore theme, like him with the goats, like him being an elite rapper is really, really something that matters to him. You will see that all throughout this album. A lot of rappers.
And I think you've seen it in his career. He's kind of acknowledged his own growth because he's had bars in the past that have been, I'm not calling myself the goat. And then as he's gone on, he'll say, I'm the goat.
Yeah.
I think he's starting to recognize it himself that he's at that level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So initial thoughts. How do we feel about this as a whole?
As a whole, it's an extremely long listen. There's just a little too much music for I would say the general consumer and even like most Baby fans probably. Okay, I'm a sicko.
Now's your time. Sorry to cut you off, Joe. But
you're good.
Now's your time to get on your soapbox about it being his choice or not his choice. I'm putting out an album this
long. Well, with artists, I don't think it's ever completely their choice. No. I don't know if his initial turn in was this long. I think it's just something that artists know now. Like if you're on a major label, you're operating on a big platform. Like they do not want to see 12 or 13 song albums. If you're this kind of artist, they just don't want to see that. So I could see him coming with, you know, maybe 12, 15 and then being.
I mean, why do they not want to see that? I'm letting you go on your rant here.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. And okay, I'm glad that you bring this up because, you know, we talked about this beating a dead horse, more songs, more streams, blah, blah, blah. But I think there is such a thing of, when there's so many songs, people really can't find what they like. Like people might be on this for a couple weeks and then they never really find what they like. So it kind of falls to the wayside. Whereas, I mean, this is a different genre and everything, but like the Ari Lennox album is the album that I've been playing the hell out of for the past month because it's only like 12 songs. So I have like, I know what I like because I could get to it quick. Like when there's just, The song retention of albums that are this long, I think is something that these like executives and label people should look at. I'm sure they kind of look at it and they have their cause benefit analysis and it's like, fuck it. We'll just put out the 25 songs. We'll hope that 3 or 4 of these hit and like, that'll cover that. But I don't know, man. I just don't think this is necessary. Like I really don't think this is necessary.
I mean, Kanye tried to swing it back the other way, and unfortunately, it worked, but like it didn't really change the landscape. He might be the wrong guy to do it at this point.
Yeah, but and then he just went to, and then he made Donda, which was like fucking 25 songs too. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if this is just the new norm. I don't know. I hope this isn't the new norm. Like so bad.
No, there's definitely a lot of fat that can be trimmed.
I think there's a growing sense from the so-called like critical community,
right?
Or like people that think like they take music seriously,
right?
So the RTH community, so the running back that hits community,
me,
yeah,
me.
you can say fucking dorks. It's your podcast. You can say what you want. We're 40 minutes in.
The more artistic rap albums are shorter ones. I mean, we look at like Tyler, the Creator, who puts out like shorter projects, and J. Cole puts out a little bit shorter projects, and how those are compared to like Migos putting out 40 songs or Lil Baby right now putting out 23. And there's a little validity in like cutting it. And I do wish some of these guys would cut their stuff, but I think that's what's going to lead the charge to going back to our normal like 12 to 15 tracks on an album.
Yes.
People are going to see the critical acclaim. They're going to see the Grammy Awards. They're going to see a lot of the conversation going back to that. But at the same time, the money's in the opposite way. And a lot of these guys care about money more than any of that other shit.
It's all about the number of streams.
Mm-hmm.
More songs, more streams.
And I mean, it's just kind of, you know, Lil Baby is in business with QC and Motown and UMG, I think is who their main label is. I mean, he wants to be in their favor because he wants them to promote his album, to submit it to award shows, things like that. So yeah, if they're like, hey, we would like six more tracks and a Jeremiah feature on here, like he's gonna do that because that's like what they asked him. Is it like what he initially planned to do? I don't know. Who's to say?
Hold on. Funny you picked Jeremiah when clearly Friday was the one that was the label push.
Hey, say what you want about that.
I like strong Friday. I like that song. I like Friday.
It was the right push.
That song. It is a label push, though.
Who the fuck is Friday?
Oh, you never heard it before?
I thought it was Sampha the first three times I heard it.
I
actually looked at it.
Lee, do you know who Friday is?
Of course I don't. Not off the top of
my head. You don't?
No.
No.
Wow, look at that. I'm fucking walking out of here with the crown.
I was like, who is Friday, bro?
He said his ears are on the fucking concrete.
You
never heard of Friday?
About that, bro.
He has three songs on Spotify, Youngest. The fuck do you know about Friday? This is how we find out that Youngest is a close relation.
That's how he was on the Count album. That's how Youngest know who he is.
He was on God Did.
Not God Did.
I'm not gonna hold you guys. Definitely just confused him with someone else.
Yeah, he was on the guy. He was on God Did. I only know because
he was on God Did. I confused him with FRVR Friday.
Of course. How could we mistake it?
Yeah, but I think that Jeremiah shit. I definitely feel like that was a fucking UMG call.
That's a UMG call.
Because
Jeremiah starting his album rollout with this, which is nasty.
I will say I think a lot of the features. I mean, I think the project could add more features. To be honest, I think a lot of the features were pretty well picked. Like Names You Expect to See, Shiesty, ESTG. You know what I'm saying? Rilo, of course, Future, Thug. Like it's guys who you expect to turn up on a Baby record. Yeah. And with all these songs. And, okay, so I will say this. I'm in here with a lot of Baby fans. Baby is kind of starting to face the he makes the same song allegations. I don't feel that way personally. I am seeing some people bring that up.
He just raps because he doesn't sing. What do they want? It's fucking rap songs.
That's not a thing for me just to defend Lil Baby because I've been saying it too about Dub Baby. It's like. People used to pull that shit all the time, and it's a little annoying. No one ever fucking said that about Ghostface Killah. Like, that, you know what the fuck you're getting.
No one ever said that shit about Jay-Z.
Supreme clientele in 2000, you're not like, I wonder what musical growth Ghostface had. No, I want him to rap like he did on fucking 36 Chambers. Like, that's what I'm here for.
Oh, my God.
I appreciate consistency. My fault.
To tie back in with like the longer albums thing, I think it's something that you do notice when it's like a 23 song project. I think you do kind of know, like Baby kind of has his flow, and I think he sounds good on like a certain type of beat. So a lot of these songs that are just Baby, like you're kind of like, I did kind of notice. I was like, damn, there is like some similarity here where if the it was a little trimmer on the track list, I probably wouldn't notice. But you know, I'm not like you, I'm not a huge fan of that. Because it, yeah. And like I feel like generally that's not your gripe. I feel like you probably just don't like the song or the songs. Mm-hmm. If you like the songs, then you wouldn't care.
But all right. Yeah. So talking about this album going track by track would be insanity. We'd be here all night. So let's do like a little superlative action. Is there some beats you guys want to talk about? What are some of your favorite beats on here?
Yes. Scheiss Talk.
Okay.
That beat is out of control.
Yeah, so that's one I definitely feel like is a label thing. I feel like that was a Pooh Shiesty song that they just kind of threw Little Baby on and didn't have anywhere to put it because, you know, Pooh Shiesty's kind of away for a little bit. But, that definitely does not feel like that was meant to be on here at first.
Yeah, but I do like that, like, it is a break in kind of like a monotonous feeling. I kind of felt like you just got like a new sound. And mm-hmm. I do agree it does kind of sound more like a Shiesty record. But yeah, I do love that beat too. Like it's super hard.
I think speaking of a break of monotony, I think perfect timing is that for
perfect
me. Like,
timing.
Yeah.
Literally. But like it's titled perfectly because like you literally you press play on the album. You have to listen to Hey at some point, and then you, and then perfect timing hits, and it's like, oh, this is like a breath of fresh air. It slows down a little bit. Baby gets into like his little melodic bag. I love that song. I also like Hey, but that's neither here nor there. You know?
I think the piano towards like the end of Perfect Timing kind of threw it off for me a little bit. That because mm-hmm. it's kind of offbeat piano. It almost sounds like the old like NFL jingle going on in the background. That threw me off a little bit on it. I'm not going to lie. I thought something else was playing in the background on my phone while it was on.
This is an interesting album production-wise because while people want to give Lil Baby the he makes the same song allegations, there's a lot of different producers on here. Like, not many producers pop up more than once. I think, like, Tay Keith is on here, like, twice. I think Murda Beats is on here, like, twice. But pretty much, like, you're getting a lot of different producers, which I think is interesting. It's not something that I noticed until I looked at the credits afterwards. You do get like a lot of different cooks in the kitchen. I like that you brought up Scheiss Talk. I love the beat on Never Hating as well, and California Breeze. I think California Breeze is the one that they're kind of pushing. I love those beats. Those are probably my favorite beats on the project. Yeah,
California Breeze is a really good one. Lee, I like how you pointed out there's a lot of different producers on there. I mean, we kind of talked about this when we talked about Freddie Gibbs and like having a lot of producers, but kind of keeping that similar sound and still making it cohesive in a sense to keep the same sound and like the same mood and melody throughout the album.
Yeah.
But I will say this sounded more like something that came out of his Section 8 sessions more than something like out of the My Turn sessions. I think the production here has like lower BPMs and like not as exciting music. I don't know how it's a lot grimier to me. That's how
I was just going to use that word. I was gonna say like I think this like album fits. It's like really close to Street Gossip for me, which is why I think I really like
Gossip.
It.
Almost. Why did I say Section 8? Thanks for
calling. No, you're good. Cause that's on that. That's a song on Street Gossip. So like, yeah, it's like, it's a lot of him just rapping. And if you love it, you're going to love it. And like, I understand somebody pressing play on this and like not finishing it or hearing it once and never going back. Cause it is a lot of the same in terms of him just kind of rapping. I think the features do a lot of work for the album though. Like I really like ESTG and I like both us and I like Nardo. So the Nardo feature hit for me. And then Friday, we've already spoke about that shit hit too.
Fire.
I think Hey would have benefited from a feature. Somebody else should be saying that, man. He should not be singing that.
Who
like,
though? Who?
I don't know, man. Like he did, like when he did a Nicki song, Gunna should, bro. Like,
it should, yeah.
It should be Gunna.
He did the reference track for Gunna, and they couldn't get it in through security. That was the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It should have been Gunna, or it should have been JT. One of them. two bad bitches. One of them should have did Hey with Lil Baby, because like I actually, it's kind of nasty how much I actually do like the song now. Like, because it's one, because it's been hated. Too, because
it's been hated.
Yeah, people fucking hate it. So
I'm not gonna lie, I really did not like it when it was the single, and then when I was hearing it within the album, it made a lot more sense to me. And
I agree.
I don't skip it when I was like playing the album through a couple times and prep for this. Like, I enjoyed it. Yeah. It was coming around, and I was like, yeah.
If you just clip the hook off, and put it on,
the chorus hits, and then I remember it's Hey again. But
yeah, if the chorus hits and that's all you clip and put on Twitter, yeah, it's not gonna sound great.
Right. Yeah, I like it. Is funny you guys kind of bring that sentiment. I feel the same way. I don't think it should, and you Youngest, you even talked about who picks the singles for this. I don't think Hey should have been a single, because
hell no.
Like there's a way to make kind of like a viral song, and some people like to do it where it's the single and we put the big dance behind it or whatever. But there's also
Baby's 2C slide.
Yeah, there's also the one where the album comes out Friday, everyone listens to the album, and like we find the song that becomes viral. I think Hey really should have been that. I don't think Hey should have been a single. I think Hey would have caught on way, way better if it wasn't a single. People would have been like, it would have been more like, haha, this is like a nice funny thing in the album, instead of why is this a single? Lil Baby's album is gonna stink. Like, I just think there's like a difference in mind frame. So I don't think Hey should have been a single. I agree with you. I'm still not like a big fan of it per se, but it's definitely less offensive, like in the context of the album for sure.
Yeah. The other single on here was In a Minute, which was him rapping over Pound Cake.
Yeah.
Which
Joe's favorite beat.
Great beat.
It's so nasty.
I mean, it's such a good beat, and Baby does his thing on there. That is one I think would have benefited with him. I don't want to say more effort, but going a little harder if they sped it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like he wanted to really hit a pocket, and he kind of stayed away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually going to say, like, we kind of jumped right into breaking it down track by track, but I did not like this album rollout at all. Like, I was so worried for this one. Like going into the album, I was stunned, and like, yeah, the singles, like In a Minute hit, but mostly because I like him rapping. But yeah, the singles didn't give me any hope, because we didn't get any of like the shit that I'm gonna take away listening to all the time, mainly like Shy's Talk and Back and Forth. Like, those are the two songs that have stuck with me, and that's 20 and 21 on the track list, which is insanity.
Yeah, like, again, I mentioned it earlier, kind of like how we as a music listening community or whatever, there is kind of like this narrative thing with artists now. And, you know, My Turn was the one where he's kind of like here. I feel like It's Only Me coming into it was the one where it's like, he's the biggest, like he's going to be right there with Drake and all these other guys. He's going to be one of the biggest artists. And I feel like how they rolled this out didn't really lend to that. Little bit like, I think like my main takeaway now is Lil Baby is probably just not really a singles artist, which is fine. Like, not everyone is a singles
artist. Yeah, I mean, do you remember what the first single for My Turn was? Does anyone remember?
No.
Fuck, was it On Me? Like, was it the first single he even released?
Like, yeah.
Was it On Me?
Nope. It's Whoa. No.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, which also not like one of the better songs on that album. Kind of a disappointing single too.
So yeah, and I think that's got
some pretty big commercial play.
Yeah. I think he's just not really a singles artist, which is fine. Like, he just has that impact culturally though, where when the album comes, like, everyone's gonna check it out. So yeah, looking back, I think that is something that I'll take with me to like new Baby projects, where it's like, okay, even if like they try a single out and it doesn't really work, like, I'm not even gonna be tripping, which, you know. I kind of felt that way on this one. I was like, even though I didn't really like any of the singles leading up to it, I was like, his track record is pretty impeccable. Like, I don't think he's gonna like really let me down on this one. So
yeah, I don't know if I shared my favorite beat, but I'm always partial to like the soul samples and that sort of thing. And yeah, real spill the intro right from the gate. I knew I was getting into something that I was really gonna like.
Love the intro. Yeah.
Yeah. Really big fan of the intro.
It's a great intro. It really, like, I was like, because I was dead ass worried. And I got out of a concert. I got out of a concert at like 10 o'clock. Like, I was worried, like, I was releasing an album. Like, I got out of a concert at like 10 o'clock. And on my drive home, I hit play on Real Spill. And I was like, ah, thank God.
You're like, if this shit flops, I am fucking done.
No, for real. Like,
I can't show my face again.
Yeah, because I'd be yelling at my, like, all my, thankful, like, my roommate, Trey, he's been on the show, like, like, him and I love Baby. We seen Baby together, so we were, like, literally texting, like, as the album was about to drop, like, are we gonna be good? Like, can we go outside and show our face, you know, as Lil Baby stands today? Like, can we do it?
Yeah, the intro was great. Like, it sets the stage really well. I think I like it because it shows, like, there's still a little bit of that humbleness from older Baby projects of, like, I'm still trying to get it. But then you really start to see, like, the brags of, bro, they say my net worth is $5 million. I got that shit, like, here.
I got that shit in cash.
Oh, yeah, it's
in my pocket. Like
the evolution. And I think the intro it does a good job of, like, putting you in the stage of
where you can go to dinner with Corey Gamble and Chris Jenner.
And Chris Jenner.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not playing. Man, there are so many lines in this album.
I was just about to
pivot. We could sit here a lot of quotes.
I was just like, do you guys have one that we haven't said already? I posted mine.
I mean, just throw some out. Fuck it.
He said, if I meet your bitch, your love life gonna be ruined. What are you talking about?
He said some nasty shit on this song. Like, he said, if she leaves with us, she's not coming home. Like, where is she going? Where is she gonna end up?
You said he'll fuck a city girl and be gone tomorrow. Like,
tomorrow.
What? Like, yeah, like, there's a lot of quotables. I was walking around the airport. You guys are well aware of this. I was spent a day in the airport.
I'm just vibing.
Yeah, I was looking at TSA agents. Crazy. Like, don't look at me the wrong way.
I mean, he said he's stacking M's like they souvenirs. I mean, he just, even like the first line of hey, maybe it just hit me a little harder, but my favorite bitch just cut me off and she won't even let me know the reason. It's probably one of her little messy, hating ass friends being evil. I was like, hell yeah, spit that shit.
Yeah. Nah, hey, like, is what made me get back in on hey is like the little chorus. He said, you better go hard. It's your tryout. Like, what? like what are you talking about, man?
Yeah, really, I think does have that, man.
Yeah, like, I think Future gets that rap as like the quotables. Like, people talk about like the IG captions, like,
yeah,
like I think Baby finds that pocket moving forward. If nothing else, is like, he can say some shit that
I'm not gonna lie to you, most Baby bars that are quotable are not like relatable for me.
not even a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't have $5 million.
I don't buy people brand new titties. That's not something I can even pretend.
Listen,
he said he bought Birkins like they're 3-for-1.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to spell Birkin.
Yo, I think the one for me, and I just gotta highlight this song because it's my favorite song on the project. I love it so much. It's definitely Never Hating with Thug. Where he goes, God, watch my friend. Yeah, dude. Where he goes, God, watch my friends. I can handle my enemies. Like, that's not a crazy bar, like, in theory, but, like, I mean, number one, the fact that Thug is on it and, like, Thug's situation right now and Baby's, like, actual background, like, knowing where he came from, like, it just hit, like, so, so hard for me to where, and like, that's really the mark of a special MC, in my opinion, where you can say something that anyone could write that down, but, like, you can't say it and it impacts that way than when he says it.
That's something we talked about with Future on a prior episode, like doing a lot with a little. Very simplistic, but it hits a lot harder when you put it with the rest of your stuff.
Man, that's the track for me. Never Hating. I love that song so much.
Funniest line is him saying he's somewhere in Toronto with a Canadian.
I would say
about evil.
I would say that.
Evil.
I would say that, and the one where he's like where he's talking about like sharing someone's girl. People thought that was about Saweetie. If you guys want to get into, if you want to get into like the shade room of things, yeah. I think because I think Quavo he posted some shit with a line, so people were like, "Yeah, that's definitely about Saweetie." That shit definitely made me laugh.
Yeah.
Why you keep texting me WYD and WYA, you giving off cop?
Giving off cop.
Giving off.
Yeah. I think that might be my funniest line.
Yeah, he's
the first time I heard that shit cracked me up.
Lee, you gave us your favorite song. Crawford, yeah. Why don't you give us yours? What's your favorite on here?
It might be the one with Nardo. Okay. That song gets me fucking hyped. If not fire. That, then maybe the one with Friday. I really, whoever Friday fire. Is, God bless them, because I really fire. Fucking like that song.
Yeah, that one was really good too. I put myself in a predicament because I don't really know what my favorite is. Joe, you got one?
Yeah, I think my favorite song, but I've just realized both the lines I said were from the song, so it's got to be mine, is Back and Forth with the ESTG. Like, yeah. That beat is like, it just like, it's one of those that just kind of kicks and then it just keeps going. It's super like high BPM, like you were saying earlier. Sometimes he shies away from that. But yeah, he just finds his pocket and just slides for like a minute straight. I don't think there's a hook. I don't know if the song has a chorus. Like, they just both bar out. They just showed the fuck up. And said, yeah, we're just going to rap today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm in between the intro and everything. Also, for real, like FR, track 19 towards the end is probably my favorite on the back half right there. A lot of good stuff on here. Like Lee said, a lot of it, as I'm looking at the names, kind of like blending together. I think it works together really well. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a funny thing. Like when you're slandering an artist, everything blends together and sounds the same. When you're praising an artist, it's like, man, this album has great cohesion. It's like, which one is it?
Yeah.
Which one is it, man? Does it work together? Or does
exactly
it
why together? I fucking hate the word cohesion. But,
yeah.
I used it earlier. I can't lie.
It's a lot
money. Yeah. This is an interesting album. And I might ask, like, you guys, this as a whole. Like, what is something that you wanted to see that you didn't see? Because going through the album, like Lil Baby is rapping super hard. Something that I kind of wished I would have heard was him with like a more traditional lyricist. I know that's kind of like some nerd shit to say, but like
Zelda,
you know, like you look at the features, it's kind of like, I mean, like
just come in,
and it's the reason why I love the Thug song so much is because they're both like really rapping, like their verses are actually like super great. But I think I would have liked some more of him kind of like going back and forth, like on some like MC type shit, you know, that we didn't get from some of, I like all the features. Like we didn't mention the Future feature. I actually really, really like the Future feature.
Yeah.
I think Future was great. Stuff
he's put out this year.
Yeah. I think it was great. But yeah, I would have liked him like on some more bar shit.
With
like, you know, it's funny. The first thing that comes to mind is J.I.D. I would have loved him and J.I.D. on a song. Not exactly sure like how that would sound, but they're both Atlanta guys. Like, I think they could figure it out. I would love him and J.I.D. on a track.
I mean, the first reaction is no 42 Doug and no Moneybag Yo on here.
Yeah, that's
no,
exactly what
no
I was going to say.
And
no Gunna.
No. Yeah. I actually like 42 and I like Moneybag a little more.
Yeah,
with Baby then Gunna, but yeah, those three are definitely like the three that I think he works extremely well with. I agree with you, Lee, like, you know, the bar stuff, there's no real like pure cocaine or freestyle on here where he's just like fuck a hook and he just goes little bit.
Yeah.
There isn't like an all of a sudden where there's like more an upbeat thing and he puts a little more energy in it. We're pretty mellowed out for all 27 of these.
23. Yeah, I was just gonna say that was my initial, or I had two initial reactions to this question. One of them was like, yeah, I want an all of a sudden, like I want to hear like that beat kicks and immediately, you know, both rappers are like, they're just spitting at each other, you know what I mean? Like it feels like you're just sitting up and watching two people just go at it. There's that, and it's probably just because I'm a close friend, Stanley. I want that again. I don't know how he's gonna capture it. It's probably just not, he's probably just not rapping about it because it's not super relevant right now.
Yeah.
Because he's busy being fucking cool as fuck. And,
yeah.
And he said he buys houses. He's not even home. Like, come on, man. Like, he's not talking about,
he's no, done, he's done talking houses if I'm never home.
Yeah. Like, he's done talking about women, bro. Like, he's off women. in my community, you know what salute, I mean? And yeah, so like I get it, but yeah, close friends is funny because it has like a little pocket for me in music, and yeah, he's just not doing melodic shit right now, which is okay.
Man, yeah. He said she posts a picture without my permission, got me in some shit. These women are fucking wild.
You couldn't believe yeah. it. He said it's time to talk about women's wrongs. Enough about women's rights. No, I think the next, it's going to be super cliche, but I think the next thing for him is a Jay-Z feature.
I think it's an interesting fan of both of them. I don't want to hear it. And I know you're like,
it's an interesting dichotomy because Lil Baby's called himself the Hood Hove many times.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, they're kind of from the same, they came up talking about the shit they were doing.
Exactly.
And now they're wealthy and they're talking about their money. I think it's more of a hand in hand than we realize. It's just their two styles are so different.
I'm scared of that song for a lot of reasons. Like,
I'm gonna slander it.
What's gonna happen is either like it's gonna be on a soundtrack or something. It's gonna be on a good instrumental for both, but like I feel like Baby would either bar him up, like, or it's just gonna be on some shit that like neither one of them has business.
Listen, I will say one thing. There is one producer that the both of them have worked with and they can work with again and make some special shit if they were to do it. And
DJ Khaled.
No, it's just Blaze.
Yeah.
There's one producer that can get the two of them to make a song that like fits both their strengths, it's just Blaze.
Yeah, Blaze. I think Hit-Boy could maybe
Has Hove worked with Hit-Boy? I don't know if he's worked with Beyonce,
so Jay-Z was probably there.
Yeah, against my best wishes.
But
Oh, I just looked up Jay-Z Hit-Boy, and the top headline is Hit-Boy says Jay-Z emailed him after he seemingly dissed Kanye West in speech. I don't know what that means.
Hell yeah. So new project coming soon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hit-Boy did Niggas in Paris, right? I think he did.
Did he?
I think so. I think that was a Hit-Boy joint. But yeah, him and that's interesting, man. It could happen. I could see it.
I think the parallels are there.
I've heard one Jay-Z song ever. So I was gonna ask a question. It's not slander, don't worry. It's a big baby motif, to use an English 11 word, is he swears he would be rich as fuck with or without rapping. Is that a Hove thing? Is that
for sure? 100%. Okay. I can imagine
there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. The only difference is Hove is lying. Thank God he could rap. Honestly, sick.
If one of the two is lying, it is not funny.
It's not
cheesy. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Google him, baby.
Google.
What about you, Youngest? Oh well, yeah. You kind of mentioned the same shit. Kind of like more bar shit. Yeah, man. I will say,
what let you down, if anything let you down from this album?
I mean, the length, of course. Like, I mean, and it just goes without mentioning, because like I said, it kind of is what it is. I think it's out of these guys' control a little bit. But man, I don't think I got through my first complete listen to this project until like Sunday evening.
Bro, I finally finished it today.
Yeah.
I was playing shit from it like a lot and like pieces and like going on little runs. But yeah, start to finish today was the first day.
Yeah, and that's just, like we've talked about it before. I'm a traditionalist, man. Like I love pressing play on an album and then putting my phone down and like going to do some other shit and just like knowing that I can play the album front to back. So it hurts like when I kind of can't do that. It hurts this project a little bit. Like Baby's discography is so impeccable. I would like to end that with like, it's kind of early, but where do y'all think this stands in his discography? I think it really does kind of hurt it.
So one thing to your point first, I think this, I listened to it like while doing stuff over the weekend. And then before this, I sat down and listened to it and wasn't doing anything else, was just actually listening to it. And I think it sounds a lot better when you're paying attention to it.
Yep.
than if it's like that background noise, or if you just got it on while you're in the car riding around or something. Like, but when you're actually listening to it, the content separates itself better. Like each individual song feels like an individual song instead of when they all run together.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I sat and listened to it doing nothing, just sitting on my phone and just trying to catch music.
Yeah, I was at the gym. I put my phone away, so like it took me a little bit to get the song names right, because like my phone's in my gym bag while I work. While I work out, so that's always the struggle with that.
Yeah, but to get to Lee's question, I mean, I feel like it's not slander of the album, but I think it is like comfortably last for me right now. Included, like if we just like the five I always think of as like his albums, like Too Hard, Harder Than Ever, Street Gossip, and My Turn in This. Like those are the five that I really think of, like Perfect Timing and Harder Than Harder on his Spotify, but I don't really count those.
Yeah.
It was just like really early shit. But yeah, it's probably pretty easily last for me, and I still like it a lot.
And just to Joe's question earlier, I came into this motherfucker 100 grand strong, 9 to be exact, from grinding G Packs.
Old bit enough, man.
We're gonna get Joe to play Reasonable Doubt one of these days. One day.
Yeah. Yeah, bring Jake and his gun. Maybe I'll play it. What about you?
Is there any final thoughts we want to touch on when it comes to It's Only Me?
I mean, I think, you know, something that we can probably all agree on is with this album, I feel like it's been received pretty well, which is kind of interesting because, like, I don't know what the song is that people would latch on. Like, I don't know what the song is that people are going to latch on to. Like, I don't know.
Hey. Yeah.
It could be Hey. I don't know. Like,
it is not. It's not
like it's definitely not Hey.
Back and forth, like
the two biggest Hey fan in the world are on this call.
Like Back and Forth is great. Never Hating is interesting. Pop Out is great, but I don't know I don't know the one that people are gonna be like talking about from this album. Like Thanksgiving. Like I don't know if there's a song on this album that people are gonna be like actively discussing.
Yeah, and the reason for that, I don't think it's because any of them are bad, but I think everyone's going to have their own different one.
There's too many of them. You talked about this earlier, right? Like you were saying, like part of a 12-track album is you don't have that many things to pick from. Yeah. There's going to be half, like, yeah, let's say you like half the album. That's 6 songs to pick your favorite from. Yep. If you like half this album, there's 13 songs to pick your favorite from. Or whatever.
I mean, someone might be spinning Everything a lot, and another person might be spinning California Breeze a lot, but at the end of the day, when they had their conversation, they're going to talk about how much they like the Baby album. And I think that's what's going to happen with this. My main concern is the conversation on the internet and in all different sects. Like I thought it was something that was really only happening with us, but it was happening on like a larger level. A lot of people were ready for this to be bad. Like they were in preparation for it to be bad. And the thing I saw immediately from people I don't really talk to, but just like seeing them post on various social medias is like, I can't believe you guys were trying to tell me Lil Baby was going to be bad, or like Lil Baby does it again. And that's, and I said that shit to start off the show, but I think the adverse reaction with that is if we are not talking about a specific song in 2 months, those people are going to come right fucking back.
Yeah. Remember when he dropped that album that nobody's talking about?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, I mean, I've been mainly positive so far. Like I like to focus on the positives when we do things. Like I do have a decent amount of gripes with this thing, but I don't know how people are going to be looking at this. I just like, even when like year end time, when December comes around, like this is not going to be on my year end list. I don't there's probably not going to be a song. The project itself is not going to be there, but I don't like it. Like it's
a lot of good stuff this year.
like it still wasn't a letdown for me. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I probably have at this point, the horse is dying at this point, but like Street Gossip is I think a great parallel for it. Because, like, I don't know how many people listen to Section 8 that often. I fucking love that song. Like, yeah. You know, or like Dreams to Reality. There's no reason, you know, that would have made a top 10 list at the end of 2018. But like, that's a song that just burns for me. So it's like, I think it's probably going to fit. Like, if there's two or three projects, or not if, but when there are two or three more baby projects and one of them is My Turn for somebody, yeah. this will become street gossip for them, I guess, right. Is how I'm going to think about it moving forward.
Right. Yeah. And I think we said earlier that street gossip, it took a little while to be received. I think it's going to be kind of the same for this one. I think the delay from when he said he was going to put it out, and then kind of, like you said, Joe, the rollout not being great for it, and it just kind of being dropped off on a Friday almost, it felt like.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think a little bit further down the line, when people circle back to it, it'll be more well received.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that are going to be like, damn, Lil Baby hasn't put something out in a little bit. Let me give this another run. And that might give a few songs another run and really dig into it. So I guess we're wrapping up. So gonna do the nasty thing and ask you guys to give us a ranking. What are your top four baby albums? He doesn't have a whole lot, so we're gonna have to have some variants, you know. You wanna go first?
Oof.
You don't have to put them in order if you don't want to.
No. I'll put them in order. I won't be a coward. I would say this is nuts because there are three crazy ones. I would say my favorite, probably the one I go back to the most at this point, is Harder Than Ever. And then it's Street Gossip. And then it's My Turn. And then Too Hard.
Okay. I like that. Crawford, what do we got?
All right. Fourth to first, I think I'm going Street Gossip, Too Hard, My Turn, and then Harder Than Ever in first.
Ooh, I like that. It doesn't seem like we're going to get much variance. I mean, I got My Turn at one. I got Harder Than Ever at two. I got Street Gossip at three. And then I'm going to go Drip Harder at four. I think what Baby does on Drip Harder is really fucking good. And I like Too Hard a lot. Lee, you got four for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go Too Hard at number one. Really, really big fan of that project. Harder Than Ever at two. And again, that's kind of like a 1A, 1A or 1A scenario for me. Yeah. I would probably go, I'll go Street Gossip three, and I'll go My Turn at four.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I think My Turn's Deluxe did a lot, like a lot for that album. We Paid is on it. All In is on it. According to different sources, the bigger picture is on it.
But the main thing there is, I think and it's part of why this album was going to be so tough, is because to keep up with these projects is so hard. I think he did just enough. Like, I think this project is kind of like a ground rule double, and I think that's really all he needed to stay afloat for now.
Lee with the sports reference.
Yeah.
I was about to say, what the hell is this, man?
A couple of
catering to Joe now.
Weirdly enough, I feel like I make more sports analogies than Youngest, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be Bill Simmons. That's
Yeah.
At least trying to be A-Train. Ground rule. What the fuck do you know about a ground rule double?
This little baby album is like the 77 Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Supersonics, who like had Spencer Hayward coming.
But yeah, man, salute to Baby here. I think he's just, like I said, projections came in. I think he's gonna do over 200 first week, which is crazy. He's shown that he's here to stay. Like, he has that fan base. Like, he has the support, I think, of the genre as a whole. Like, you're kind of weird if you don't like Lil Baby. So
listen, as we were just talking about how Hey sounds better in the context of the album, and a lot of people were giving him shit for the World Cup song, I'm telling you, when you throw on ABC and you see that first montage and it's playing in the back and you see the soccer players going crazy, that shit's gonna sound a lot better.
Yeah,
and I'm staking my flag in that now. I'm telling you, in like 2 months, when you're watching the World Cup, that shit is not gonna sound as bad. But yeah, as always, we wrap up asking our guests kind of like what they've been listening to lately outside of this little baby Crawford? What have you been on? What have you been spinning?
Oh man, besides this lately. So just in preparation for this, I've just been listening to a lot of old Lil Baby. I'm not going to lie. In the weeks preceding, I was just hyping myself up for it. Like I'm looking at my recent play and it's like To the Hard Way, Perfect Timing, Too Hard. Oh, I just ran through the whole thing. No, I really like, before that though, I was listening to the ESTG album a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That album is incredible. I think he's someone who kind of in this same vein is Lil Baby, is ready to make that leap from like a street rapper to like a more mainstream success.
Yeah, ESTG definitely like had a monstrous year.
I mean, the BET award performance was incredible, and it's the BET award, so it's not what it, you know, the acclaim that it used to hold, but still a star making performance.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not speaking on that anymore. Lee got mad at me. Joe, what have we been spending lately?
Man, I was going to say, like, kind of same as Crawford. I did my due diligence as a baby stander and everything. I'm sure you guys have talked about it, or maybe you haven't, but I just saw West Side, or not that I saw West Side Boogie. West Side Boogie dropped the album of the year in June, and that shit's been stuck for me. And then I just found this artist called, or named Wise Blood. Youngest, don't listen. You will not enjoy it. Lee, absolutely listen. You probably will enjoy it. They or she, I'm not exactly sure, dropped the album in 2019. That was like really critically acclaimed, and just dropped a single last week. Yeah, like kind of pop punky, like some of the stuff that has kind of hit the mainstream over the last year. That's been stuck on my Spotify. And then, West Side Boogie album. Those are the two that have really been kind of spinning.
Oh boy, I looked up this Wise Blood and I don't recognize the singular. I recognize the name here.
What's there you it? Go.
Mitski.
Shout out to Mitski, man.
Shout out to Mitski.
Her name Mitski might makes... come up when we talk year and stuff. Shout out to Mitski.
Mitski makes it.
What's the weekly rundown?
You know, I think you ended up checking out this project, the new Joey Fats.
I honestly listened to the Blast song, and I've been
I really enjoyed this one, man. Like Joey Fats, I kind of know him mainly through Vince Staples, of course. I think they're cousins or something. But yeah, he really, really had a great project. If you're into that West Coast sound, of course, it's definitely one that I check out. But even just if you love like he's rapping hard as hell for real. Beats are great. Features are great. Like you mentioned, Blast is on there. Kamaya's on there. That's a great project. Another one that I checked out was from Flower Child, FLWRCHYLD. Really dope, kind of like funky R&B leaning record. Emotional Oranges had a great new single. Charlotte Dos Santos had a great new album for kind of the more R&B leaning folks. Last week was really good. That was another reason why it took me a little while to get into the baby, because there was a lot of stuff that I really, really wanted to get to that I wanted to check out more. But yeah, a lot of dope stuff. Spino's coming, I think, next week. That's really like
all I'm thinking about. Talk soon.
That's really all I'm thinking about right now, man. Just really, really excited to hear what Smee has been cooking up.
Yeah. So I checked out a little bit of that Joey Fats, mostly just one song, but I think a few other played. And yeah, Fats been a guy that's just been like hanging around for a while. I remember the Chipper Jones mixtapes. Like he was early on the scene with like a lot of those blog era rappers, and kind of never really got to make a huge name for himself. So it's cool to see him still kicking around and making like the same sound and doing his thing. Listen to the new Young Boy. Really good Shy Glizzy verse on there.
Dope project. Of that.
And listening to Shaboosey even more. I think I mentioned it last week, but
I gotta check Cowboys, that out. I gotta check that out.
Yeah, Cowboys Live Forever, Outlaws Never Die. I mean, he tries every type of rap, and it's like a mix of like parody and just like effort, I guess. I can't tell if he's like more of an Action Bronson where he's like and having fun, or if he's more like a Weird Al, Like, there's an interlude on here that's named Dead Ops, and it's a song about a guy dying and being put on a newspaper, but he sings it like a stereotypical country song. Like, that's the type of vibe we're going with. It's very,
yeah, I gotta check that out.
So I've been listening to that a little bit more. Been spinning some music left over from our last episode, like a whole lot, which dug into some Billy Joel. But
yeah,
I meant to ask you, youngest, have you listened to this Kenny Mason?
I did listen to the Kenny Mason. I don't remember anything from listening to it. I'm gonna be honest with you. I heard the song.
Oh, yeah.
I have that one saved. But
yeah, I was gonna say
Kenny Mason, man.
If there's a song to go back to give another shot, give Mama Don't Know another run. That's a hit. That shit is crazy. The nudie shout song is the nudie. Kenny Mason.
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned Marcus Clay last time we talked. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what I mentioned last week and what I mentioned this week. But yeah, Marcus Clay put out some stuff. Mama used to say is kind of like a little barsy, but good stuff. Yeah, and then I made like a Brother Ali joke the other day, and then for whatever reason went on a little Brother Ali binge. Forest Whitaker still a good song. That old ass song, still a good one.
real
probably heavy. Not gonna be doing too much of that later, but you know, shout out to Brother Ali. He traded in the kufi for the fedora.
Indeed.
You
know?
Real, indeed. Real.
Yeah, I think that's all we got for y'all, man. Joe Crawford, man, we appreciate y'all. Friends of the program, appreciate y'all coming through. Shout out to Lil Baby for
another good one. Good.
Yeah, another
I'll
good one.
We don't want to say it. I'll say it. That's rapping.
That is Lil Baby for rapping, right?
Yeah.
Talk to him, youngins.
We're out of here for real, but is Lil Baby the best rapper alive?
Yeah.
Best unless rapper. He died. Yeah. Unless he died an unfortunate death since we started recording.
Unless he holds
what are you talking
breath.
About? That yeah. Unfortunate. What is he talking about?
Shout out to Lil Baby, then best rapper alive. Thank y'all for tuning in. Like, subscribe, all that good shit. Tell a friend to tell a friend, all that good stuff. And we'll see y'all next time.
RBG.